is going to be the fifth and final sermon in this sermon series entitled, It's All in the Mind. I hope and trust that it has been a blessing to you and that the Lord has given you some insight into some of the things that we have shared from the Word of God. You know, really what we're talking about, what we have been talking about, is the realm of warfare. You know, so, you know, spiritual warfare, because we know the Bible tells us that we are all in a battle. Amen. So today, in this realm of warfare, I want to talk about the helmet of salvation. Because the helmet protects the head. Now, in biblical times, a Roman soldier would put on his helmet because his enemies, his opponents, carried what was called a short-handled axe. It was called a battle axe. Now, some of you may think you're talking about one of your family members or something, but a battle axe, when a battle axe was swinging, heads were rolling because it was a very powerful weapon, and it was one that was handled easily. So the helmet to a Roman soldier was very, very important. And that's the analogy that we have in the book of Ephesians that we're going to read in just a minute. But the helmet was intended to save a man's head. To save his head. You would not go out into battle without the helmet. Now, you and I as believers, we must contend with the battle axe of the devil that comes to attack our mind and steal our victory. So it's very, very important for you and I to put on our helmet of salvation. Because if we are going to overcome the attacks of the battle axe, then we must positively put on the helmet of salvation. So I want to visit Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. I love this word. Ephesians chapter 6, and in verse 10, the scripture says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Or we could say against the battle axe attacks of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." And then verse 17, which is what we are going to focus on today. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." I love the connection, the helmet with the sword. Take the helmet of salvation. So we're going to talk about that today, but I want to also give you another verse of Scripture. This one is taken from the book of 1 Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. He says that we should gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, all of these are symbolic terminologies. That of the soldier in Ephesians 6, and here where we are encouraged to gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, and put our hope completely in Jesus Christ. So we're going to talk about that today. So I want to answer this question. What does the helmet of salvation do for us? Why do I need the helmet of salvation? We have already established that we must have our mind protected. The Roman soldier had to protect his head. In the spiritual realm, we have to protect our mind because we are dealing with the spiritual strategies of the devil to attack our mind. So the question we want to answer, what does the helmet of salvation do for us? First of all, I want us to understand the word repentance. Because we're talking about salvation now. And I fear that there are a lot of people that does not really understand salvation. So if we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation, we must understand the power of salvation and how it involves the mind. All right, so the first thing that I want to introduce to you today, the first truth in answering this question, what does the helmet of salvation do for you and I? First of all, we must understand to receive salvation, one must repent. Are y'all with me? Without repentance, there is no salvation. You can come to church every Sunday. You can financially give to support the ministry. You might even have a form of prayer. But my friends, if you have not repented, then you have not received salvation. Because to receive salvation, one must repent. If you go into the Gospels, we find the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. And he came with the message of repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus begins his ministry. He begins with his message, repent, because the kingdom of God is near. So that is a very, very important word. And the word repent is the Greek word metanoia. It means to change. Listen, this is the biblical definition. To change one's mind. The word repent means to change your mind. So my friends, every one of us have to ask ourselves, has my mind changed? Further definition, drastic change. The word metanoia, it means drastic change that reverses the effects of a previous state of mind. It is a change of mind that turns from sin and turns to God. My friends, if you have not experienced this, then you don't have salvation. Because to receive salvation, one must repent. So it's very, very important that we understand that. Because the word repent in the original Greek language simply means to change one's mind. So that's why if someone becomes a born-again child of God, they begin to think differently. So they talk differently. They walk differently. They act differently. But if their mind is not changed, then they're still the same old skunk they've always been. Are y'all with me? There must absolutely, positively be repentance. To receive salvation, one must repent. All right, so having established that, this is the next thing. Let's move on. Number two. See, the helmet of salvation reveals what team you are on. Now, football season starts in 4 weeks. Anybody excited? Don't y'all be missing church for those Saints games. Give me them tickets. Because y'all know what I say, I'll go after I preach. Hallelujah. But people will begin to sport their caps, shirts, jackets, you know, all of the things that identifies them to what team they root for. All right, so we must understand that the helmet of salvation reveals what team we are on. I love this verse of Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What a great verse of Scripture. Because that verse completely gives us the message of what team we are on. So if we have repented, if we have changed our mind, then my friends, we stand in the Lord's team. Even in the Old Testament, Joshua drew a line in the sand one day. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, or we could say, whoever is on the Lord's team, let him come over on my side. Amen? So the helmet of salvation reveals what team we are on. The Lord knows those who are His. So my friends, do you belong to Him? Do you belong to Jesus? You have to know that you know that you know that you belong to the Lord. Let me move on. Number three, what does the helmet of salvation do for us? Number three, the helmet of salvation protects our minds from the spirit of unbelief. See, the enemy, my friends, will always go after your faith. If he can get you to question God's character, question God's integrity, he can destroy your faith. Because we must understand this principle, that when faith is alive, we are advancing. Hallelujah. When faith is alive, when faith is activated on the inside of me, I am advancing in the things of God. That's why the Bible says we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Hallelujah. We don't live according to the things that are temporal. We live based upon the things that are eternal. Thanks be unto God. So when I have my mind protected against that spirit of unbelief, faith is operating, and the devil tries to always, he'll use the traumas of life. He'll use the challenges of life. He'll use our mess ups, our failures, our mistakes, tragedies, all the things that we contend with in this world. Satan will try to rob you of your victory by destroying your faith. Because if he can stop your progress, think of it. It's all about progress. We go into the Old Testament, we find the illustration of the Israelites called into the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of provision, a land of blessing, a land of the presence of God. But the Bible says that there was a generation that because of the spirit of unbelief, that they wandered around in the desert for 40 solid years. 40 solid years. I love Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily as you see the day approaching. My friends, there's coming a day of eternity. Amen. There's coming a day when this life as we know it is going to be finished. It's going to be over. It's going to be history. And the only thing that will matter then I love the plaque. I used to have one in my room when I first got born again. Only one life will all be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. So, my friends, that's why we have to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So it's interesting that in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2, he says, beware, brethren. Now, how many of you know when you find the word brethren, that's talking about people of like precious faith, people that are born again. So he says there is a danger that we could be influenced by the old battle axe, the devil, or the spirit of unbelief, or the influence of this world. You know, all of those things. That's why we have to protect our minds. Because the spirit of unbelief. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I'll continue to say it. My friends, I have seen, in 20 years of pastoral ministry, I have seen people on fire for God. I mean at the altar, you know, crying out to God, seeking the face of God, serving God faithfully. And just somewhere along the line, just one choice may have opened the door of compromise. And then got them separated out of the house of God, away from the Lord. Generally, the first thing that happens is people stop praying. Then they stop reading the Word of God. Then they stop attending worship services. There's a Christian song on the radio they play sometimes. It's a slow fade. And it is. It's a slow fade. And that's why the Bible warns us against the spirit of unbelief. So that brings me back to our verse in 1 Peter 1. Where he says, gird up your loins. That term, gird up your loins, it's talking about the loose ends. I love this definition. Gather all the loose ends of your mind and get into mental shape. One translation says, roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. Be ready to receive the gift that comes when Jesus arrives. See, this is an image of someone tucking his garments into his belt, his loin area, right here. An image of someone tucking his garments into his belt so that he can run and move freely. And he must be sober in spiritual things. You know, one of the amazing things that I've seen in vacationing and going different places around the country is the changing of the guard in Washington, D.C., in Arlington National Cemetery. If you have never seen that, it is an incredible thing. It takes place 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every 30 minutes they change the guard. And it is incredible. It is an incredible thing to witness. And the commitment that they make is unbelievable. The commitment that they make when they serve in that capacity. First of all, you have to be within a certain height, if I'm remembering correctly, between 5'10 and 6'3 or 6'4, somewhere in there. And you can't have a waist more than 30 inches. Now, I've been a thin guy all my life, but I'm going to tell you, my waist is not 30 inches anymore. 32, just in case you were wondering, which isn't too bad, I don't guess, in the scheme of things. But you know, you see some of these guys, especially these guys that are over six foot tall, and you know, and they're solid men, you know, 200 pounds or whatever, and how on earth do they get a 30 inch waist? I'm telling you, that takes some doing. You know, so when the Bible talks about girding up our loins, it's giving us an image of someone tucking his garments in so that his belt is secure and he can run and he can move freely and he is sober in the area of spiritual things. This implies alertness and the ability to evaluate things correctly. See, that's talking about the mind. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Do not allow your mind to be numb with intoxicating influences. So, my friends, do you have on the helmet of salvation? What does it do for us? To receive salvation, it involves repentance. Number two, the helmet of salvation reveals what team you're on. Number three, the helmet of salvation protects our minds from the battle axe of the devil trying to get us into the realm of unbelief. And number four, and this is a good one, the helmet of salvation produces a sound mind. That's why I love 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now that's an interesting phrase, that phrase, sound mind. It's the Greek word sophroneo. It's a compound word derived from the word, the Greek word sozo, which means saved or delivered, and the word phoneo, which refers to intelligent thinking. In other words, this is a reference to a saved mind. A mind that is set free and it thinks according to the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. This is how walking in faith operates. This is the key to walking in faith. So we have to have, our mind must be saved. A saved mind. It's set free. It thinks according to the Word of God. Now, if all we do is pump television into our mind, all we do is pump the wrong music into our mind, my friends, you may not realize it, but you are being programmed in your mind. If you hang around with the wrong people, speaking the wrong things into your mind is being programmed to think a certain way. And that's why the Bible says that we need to be very, very careful of who we associate with, because bad company corrupts good morality. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever lose sight of that. So that's why it's very, very important. The helmet of salvation is going to produce a sound mind, a delivered mind, a saved mind. We've already talked about this in weeks gone by, that whatever our mindset is, that's the direction our life goes. Because we walk. See, that's why repentance affects the mind. Because what happens when somebody repents? Well, they're walking this way in a life of sin, and then all of a sudden they do a 180 because their mind has changed. So they're not going down that path anymore. They're going a totally different direction. Because repentance is the change of one's mind. So they do a 180. And they begin to go a different direction. They walk a different way. Their mind is thinking differently now. They have a saved mind. Their mind has been renewed. See, the helmet of salvation produces a sound mind. Oh, thank God for that. So, my friends, do you have a sound mind? Or is your mind still messed up? What has programmed it? You might need to reprogram. And the only way to reprogram is based upon the Word of the living God. Think rightly. Think according to truth. The world in which we live is trying to get us to think a certain way, to believe a certain way, to accept certain things. You know, that's the world in which we live. So the helmet of salvation is so vitally important, because our mind must be set free, and it must think according to the truth of the Word of God. And that is what produces a sound mind. Because a sound mind is a spiritual mind. A sound mind has the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit working in it. But a mind that is unrenewed, a mind that is still messed up, is going to produce a messed up life. if you think negatively, you will live negatively. That's just the way it is. If you think positively, and the Bible says that faith has a good report. So if I think according to the Word of God, Scripture says this. It says things that we should think on, right? Things to think on. Whatsoever is good, just, lovely. See, that's why I think about fishing so much. Because it's lovely. Anybody ever went snow skiing? Anybody? Some have gone snow skiing. I've never gone snow skiing. But I'd like to because it looks lovely. You know, I mean, the Bible says think on things that are lovely, just, pure, things that are right. So we have to have our mind programmed according to the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. A sound mind. See, a spiritual thought process that is rooted in the truth of God, based in relationship with Jesus Christ, it thinks soundly. And because it thinks soundly, it makes wise choices and wise decisions. And it also discerns things because it's thinking right. Helmet of salvation. Well, let me move on. We're coming to the table of communion in communion in just a moment, and I want to give you all of these. I have seven to give you, by the way, of what the helmet of salvation does for us. So here's number five: the helmet of salvation is a mind that is guarded and renewed by the Word of God. It's guarded by the Word. It's renewed by the Word. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. He says, and well, let me include verse 22. He says that you should put off concerning your former conduct the old man. That's simply a terminology of an illustration. It's talking about the old life. So it says, put off the old man, or we could say the old life, the former conduct that, listen to this, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. At one time I lived based upon the lust of my mind, and I find that is true. Lust gets worse. Because whatever you feed grows. So if you feed lust, lust grows. If you feed the spiritual life of Christ, the spiritual life of Christ grows. Because whatever you feed will grow. So the Bible says, put off that former conduct, that corrupt nature, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. He goes on, then tells us that we should stop lying, we should speak truth. We should not have manifestations of anger, you know, demonic fits of rage and anger. Have you ever seen demonic fits? You ever been part of a... Don't answer that. Plead the fifth. I've always been kind of a calm person, fortunately. You know, kind of a laid-back personality. So it really takes, I mean, a lot. If you ever see me really mad and angry, you ought to find out who upset me. Because it's rare. I'm telling you, it's rare for that to happen. Just because I have, you know, kind of a laid-back mentality, laid-back attitude. But sometimes things do upset us. And we might want to get in that old mentality, that old lifestyle, that former way of thinking. I've said this before. Y'all know, many of y'all, unless you're new to the church, most of y'all have been around my teaching and preaching, know a lot about my testimony and, you know, how I was a juvenile delinquent and You know, I was put in juvenile detention centers on more than one occasion, was put in jail on more than one occasion after age 17. You know, so, you know, I've kind of been down the road, you know, and had a lot of bad things, part of a lot of bad stuff, you know, in my life. And, you know, my father died when I was 2 years old in an automobile accident. Never did know my father. You know, was practically raised by my grandmother. You know, so had no male guidance, no male leadership in my life. And, you know, I wish I would have had that. Because, man, it might have saved me from a lot of junk, a lot of garbage. You know, but I got sucked into my environment and I began to live my life based upon the mindset, until one day somebody told me, Jesus Christ can change your life. And the guy that told me that was a former heroin addict that I used to run around with. And, you know, if God could change him, then I said, surely he can change me. Thank God that somebody told us about Jesus. How many of you know we must all tell somebody that Jesus can change their life? But you know, when I was in that mindset, we used to do a lot of bad things to people. You know, and I've kind of talked about that. You know, if somebody stole something from us, we had a lot of illegal business going on. And if somebody stole product from us or didn't pay, then there was going to be a day of payback. And it was not going to be nice. You know, because we lived according to that kind of mentality, negative lifestyle. You know, and I'll never forget one of the guys I graduated from high school with him. When I became a born-again Christian and I was sharing Jesus with this guy. And tell him the gospel and tell him what Jesus did in my life. And you know, just kind of just preaching the word of God. And he took a step back. He used to call me Smitty. Took a step back and he said, now, Smitty, are you trying to tell me that you've been reincarnated? I was like, no, man. No. Not reincarnated. I've been born. It's a spiritual. And I didn't really know how to completely explain it at the time. You know, I said, no, man, it's a spiritual thing. I said, Jesus saved me. He lives on the inside of me. When I gave him that phrase, that born again, you can be born. He said, you mean reincarnate? No. Made new. Made completely new. Hallelujah. Thank God that we put on the helmet of salvation that gives us a sound mind, and we think and talk and act and walk differently because of the one who is on the inside of us. So the helmet of salvation produces a sound mind. Helmet of salvation is a mind that is guarded and renewed by the word of God. Number six, salvation means saved or delivered. The word salvation, the English word salvation, from the Greek word soterios, it means delivered from danger, to be brought into a safe place. Thank God that He saves us and brings us into a safe place. To be lost, my friends, is a dangerous condition to be in. You know why? Because when somebody is a lost soul, they are under the dominion of Satan. But when repentance takes place, there's a change of mind. And God rescues us spiritually and mentally. Thank God that He does. Hallelujah. This is why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Thank God for salvation. thank God that we can be saved. We can be delivered from danger. We can be brought into a safe place. This is why the Bible talks about that the Lord is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our hiding place. He is our strong tower. The righteous run into Him and they are preserved and they are safe. Hallelujah. Thank God. It's a place of safety. Saved. Delivered. My mind is sound. It's saved. It's guarded. It's renewed. Here's the seventh and final one. What does the helmet of salvation do for us? By putting on the helmet of salvation, my mind shifts to the Holy Spirit. And that's why Ephesians 6, 17. Now I want you to see this. I want you to catch this. Going back to the verse that we kind of zeroed in on today. Verse 17, where he says, and take the helmet of salvation. Do y'all see that? The word take, and take the helmet of salvation. And that's a very, very important word when he says, take the helmet of salvation. Because the word take is the Greek word dekome. It means to accept an offer deliberately and readily. It literally means to receive. This Greek word, 40 times in the New Testament, is it translated by the English word, receive. So when the Bible says, take the helmet, he gives the offer. Reminds me of a classic line in a movie from a different era. I make him an offer he cannot refuse. Anybody remember that film? You might be giving away our age here today, but Godfather. Well, Jesus makes us an offer. But the sad thing is, many people refuse it. It's an offer that is extended to everybody. Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. It's an offer that is given. Take to accept an offer deliberately and readily. In other words, God is saying, I have provided everything you need to walk in a new life that I provide. I have everything you have need of, and I do not leave you alone. That's why Jesus said, it is imperative that I go away, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. But I'm going, and He's coming. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation, my friends, you have to take the offer. You have to receive the offer. You have to apply yourself to live and walk in the victory of Almighty God. And we know that we're fighting the battle axe of the devil. He's trying to attack our mind to get us to think differently. He wants to corrupt our mind. He wants to mess us up in our mind. He wants us on all kind of pills and have people turn into alcohol and drugs and all of that junk. And we don't need any of that stuff. Come on, somebody, because I'm here to declare today there is power of a sound mind, a mind that is saved, my God, a mind that is delivered, a mind that is set free, and I put on the helmet of salvation, and when I get up in the morning, I have a testimony that says, devil, I'm not on your side anymore. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. We should live and walk in victory and power and in the anointing of God. Because the offer, he says, take the helmet of salvation. Somebody might bake a beautiful cake. Sister Christine. Cake decorate. And offer you, you want a slice of this cake? Heck yeah. But I have to take it. Now, you know, I might be able to convince Becky to feed it to me, you know. I've been trying to get her to put grapes in my mouth for 38 years, and it hasn't worked yet, so I probably better get the fork and eat that cake myself. But if somebody offers you, somebody came in one day and said, Pastor, I want to take you to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. You want to go? Heck yeah. Just tell me the time, the day, and I'll show up. Offer. So Jesus has given us an incredible offer. And that offer is life. He said, I give you life, and that more abundantly.